For those of us who live in what is commonly referred to as the Western world, we have witnessed, and the majority of us have experienced, a degree of almost universal affluence that would have been considered impossible in centuries gone by. I'm not claiming that everyone is extremely rich. There are still those who are considered to be the land-owning moneyed classes. There are the entrepreneurial barons who trade in the commercial areas. There are professional men and women. And there are those who work for others. And also, you'll find that there are those in between as well. So, you know, you've got a whole strata. Now, I'm not claiming that everybody is rich. But today, you'll have a hard job to find those who are truly destitute. And each individual has something. Many people enjoy, and I use the word enjoy in the widest possible sense, many people enjoy a roof over their head. And they own a large number of possessions, something which would have been undreamed of in previous years. Additionally, we have something which is far beyond any value that we can place upon it. I'm not talking about spiritual or non-physical items now. How much do you value your last breath? How much do you value the air which is in your lungs at this moment? And what price would you pay for your next breath? So today, in the time which is available to me, it is my intention to bring into focus what we have been given and what is expected of us on this day, this last great day of the feast, because we are commanded to give an offering on each of God's holy days, and this is the last holy day of this present season. I would like you to turn with me, please, to the first book of Timothy, and we will start in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. And in considering my opening words, many people in this world today would give their right arm to have just a few of the things that we have today. If we consider the fact that we have good, clean, drinkable water, it gets just that basic, because there are many people in this world to whom good, clean, drinkable water is not available on tap. Many people have to walk mile upon mile in order to get the basics of life. Yet here in the West, we enjoy them. And in the first book of Timothy, chapter 6 and verse 7, we read what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And that is true even if we have a heart with a false bottom. You won't get it past the door. Or even a psaltery, because that sounded beautiful. I mean, you won't get it through. It stays here. Everything that we have in this life has been given to us. Everything that we leave at the end of this life passes to somebody else. Life as we know it at the moment is only a temporary affair. Everything that we have and use in between birth and death has been given to us. And by and large, the British and British descended people, and I include the Americans here, are a generous people. King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, we won't turn there, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verses 1 and 2, we read about casting bread upon the waters and giving a portion to 7 or 8, because we haven't a clue what evil may befall us. There is an open-handed approach which typifies the attitude of most of God's people. I say most because I'm not particularly open-handed myself. You know, being a treasurer, I tend to grab the money in. We have an idea of what is about to happen. And we have been living this for the past 7 days. Now, on the last great day, the final day of the feast, the final holy day of God's holy day season, we reflect upon the time which comes after the millennium, when all who ever lived will be resurrected to a physical life here on this earth. I'd like you to turn now with me to the book of Revelation, and we'll begin in chapter 20 and verse 11. Now this section refers to what was revealed to the Apostle John about the time which follows the millennium. Isaiah also referred to this time, talking about a man who will fill his days and a child who will die at 100. And this is a time when all who ever lived, who have not already been resurrected, the vast majority of mankind, will be resurrected, taught God's truth, shown how to live, and they will be judged from the books. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11, we read the following. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And this is the time that this day pictures. Now, it's a wonderful truth that has been given to us. The truth that has been hidden from a deceived mankind. And here is what this day pictures. A day of salvation for the great and vast majority of mankind. And all of this information has been revealed to us, and we have been greatly privileged to have that information revealed to us, basically by Mr. Armstrong through his ministry. And at the present time, the Church of God in Wales, both in the United Kingdom and over here, is endeavouring to make this information available to the world, to all who will come to find it, through the various websites that are being maintained. And that does require a degree of funding. Money may become very much scarcer in the weeks and days ahead. We none of us know what lies ahead, but as has been pointed out, this could very well be the last feast season before the tribulation breaks upon this earth. Now, the tithes of God's people are supporting a work which is being done at this time. And it is now appropriate to bring our offerings to the Eternal in compliance with his command. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the second book of Corinthians, and we'll read from chapter 9 the words that the Apostle Paul wrote. As we come before God on this his holy day with our offering, we are helping to make a wonderful truth available to all of mankind. I have no idea of how much of a work can be done, or even how long we can carry on with that work. There will be a famine of the word, we are told that. But the Church of God in Wales, with its limited resources, is attempting to make what we have been given available to all who are seeking it. Whatever we give, as the disciple Luke and as King Solomon recorded, if we give, it will come back to us one way or another. Whatever blessings we bestow upon this world will return to us. And we are commanded to give our offering and not to appear before God empty-handed. Now, I'd just like to refer in passing to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 14. It says, of your own have we given you. So whatever we are given, we can take no great glory. And we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We will now take up the offering, and whilst this is being done, there will be offering music, which will be sung by Mrs. Sylvia Duke, be accompanied on the keyboard by Mr. Jonathan Bowles, and it is Psalm 126. It is entitled, The Second Time That Zion Is Returning.